Well, it's good to see all of y'all today. Hey, Jalen. Oh, hi, Remy. Remy's waving at me, too. Hi, Remy. It's so good to see all of you all today. Listen, those of you who went to beach camp with me, act surprised for the next 30 minutes, okay? No, I am. I'm going to kind of share with you a word that the Lord gave me for our kids when we were at camp. And I want to tell you, it's not because I was lazy, though I have been busy. But I kept trying to think about other things to share. And this is the way that my preparation for preaching usually goes. Pastor Jeremy gives us a schedule way in advance because that's how organized he is. And I write it on my calendar. And then I forget about it because I am not as organized as he is. But then what happens is I know that I'm scheduled to preach and it's coming up. And rather than sitting down and spending hours of preparation right then, because I don't generally have those hours, I just begin to, as I am talking to the Lord, asking him to show me the direction that he would want me to go. And it usually starts to just kind of formulate in my mind, in the back of my mind, and I'll make little notes on my phone and so forth about where the direction I'm going to go. And then usually late Saturday night, before I preach on Sunday, the Lord finalizes things. And then early Sunday morning, I write my notes out. And I tell you that because I feel like I want to be clear in that the Holy Spirit really, really is the one who does the work. And I had this message and I kept thinking, well, Lord, I preached this to our kids already and I'm not big on preaching a message over again. But the Lord reminded me that most of you all weren't there. And it was an important thing. And so today's message is just called Water. Water. We're going to get straight into his word, into Isaiah 43. We're going to start in the Old Testament and then go over to the New Testament. And we're going to look here at the Lord speaking to his people as he does so generously through his word. So let's dig into Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to kind of go a couple verses at a time. So let's look at verses 16 and 17 first. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out of the chariots and horses the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to arise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, do we know what he's referencing there? What's he referencing? What is God reminding them of? He's reminding them right of when he led them through the waters. Right, where he parted the sea and they walked through. God's reminding them of what he had done for them. Isn't that great when God reminds us of what he had done? It's helpful sometimes, right? When you're in a panic. Yeah, you're like panicking and the Lord's like, by the way, remember when? Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. But then the Lord kind of flips things here in this next verse. In verse 18, he says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And he's like, hey, remember when I did this for you? Forget it. Now, wait a minute. Why would he want them to forget? The people of Israel kept getting in trouble for forgetting. It was one of their main problems. They forgot, then they would build an idol. They would forget, then they would complain. They kept forgetting all the time. And so why would God remind them of something here and then say, forget it? Why would he tell them that? Well, let's look in verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. They needed to forget it because he needed to do something new. And it's hard to do something new when you're only looking at how you used to do it. In fact, we have a reference to this happening earlier with Moses. God had told him to strike a rock and water would come out of it. And he did. But the next time he told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come out of it. But Moses was frustrated by the people around him. Do y'all ever get frustrated by people around you? And then you forget what you were doing. You ever been doing something like in the middle of it? And you're doing it. And then people start talking. And then you're like, what was I doing? Why am I holding a hammer? Like, what am I doing here, right? And so Moses had struck a rock and gotten water out of it. But the second time, God told him to speak to the rock to get water out of it. But he got frustrated, and what did he do? Struck the rock. Now, here's what's interesting. Water still came out of it, but there were consequences for him not doing it the way God had asked him to do it. And so here we see in Isaiah that God is saying, hey, remember those old things and the way I did it? Forget it for a second. I need you to forget it because I have a new thing that I am doing. Because here's the deal. They weren't facing a sea. They weren't being pursued by chariots. They were facing a desert. They didn't need the sand to be split. In fact, they needed a way out. And this time, instead of needing water moved, they needed water. And so they were in the middle of a Babylonian exile. They were nowhere close to where they had been when God brought them out of Egypt. But they were also nowhere close to where they were supposed to be. And they were in this desert. And they needed something from God. But it couldn't be the same thing as last time. He needed to do something new. Now listen to these next two verses because they're going to be important later. The wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. In both places, hear me on this, in both places, at the Red Sea and here in the middle of the desert, God was both the source of the water and controlled the purpose of the water. So they were facing different circumstances, but the source and purpose of the water was the same. It was God. Like the song we sang, same God. So they were in different places, but facing the same God who controls the purpose of the water. So Jesus did the same thing we see in his miracles when it came to water. He uses water in lots of ways in the New Testament in his miracles, right? He turns it to wine. What a cool party that would be at. He also then walks on it. He calms it. He even spits and uses the water from his mouth to make mud to heal eyes. He controlled the source and the purpose from the water, even in his miracles in the New Testament. Now, here's the thing we're going to look at as we switch over to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we're looking at physical water because things were outside of the people. They did not have God inside of them. So they were interacting only with the outside world. Remember this. The kingdom of God then was carried around. They had to pack it up and move it with them everywhere they went. We don't do that. Now, I know we kind of pack up a little bit here. But we aren't carrying the kingdom of God in a box everywhere we go. Now, let's look over in the New Testament at John chapter 7. Here we have Jesus talking. And he says, in verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So in the Old Testament, we see God using the physical water as its source and its purpose and using it in those ways. And here in the New Testament, Jesus comes and he says, I'm putting the water in you. But he still controls its source and its purpose. So now there's living water in us, and it's not stagnant, it's living, it's the Spirit, and now it's in you. So here's my question for us today, as so many of us are going into new seasons, right? New grades, new levels in our lives. Even those of you who are not in school, you're going into new seasons always. Victoria, we said she graduated from college. She also now has a real grown-up job, with a grown-up apartment. She's doing like real grown-up things, which is hard for me to understand since yesterday she was 9, right? But it's new seasons, so wherever you are at right now, here is the question in front of you. What do you need God to do for you in this season? Because this season is different than the last one. It's different than your experience before. It's a whole new thing. So let's look at this just a little bit. Can I ask you, do you need God to move out and wash away things? You know, when he parted the Red Sea, it talks about the chariots and the enemies were wiped out, never to be seen again. Now, here's the thing about moving water. It is not free from pain. And if we really need God to move out and wash away some things in our life, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable and not easy. Anybody who's ever fought and dealt with an addiction can tell you that having God remove that addiction from their life is not an easy thing. And yet I think so many times we put addictions and we think, oh, well, that's them. And we think if we don't have an addiction to drugs or other things, pornography and this kind of stuff, that we're not dealing with things that are difficult to wash out. Sin is sticky. And it is hard to get rid of. And it may not look like mine, and mine may not look like yours, but it is difficult to get rid of. And so in this season of life, is God calling you to get rid of some things within your life? Some people, some situations, some patterns and cycles and things that are going to be difficult. Here's what you have to know. God has put living water in you. And that living water, the Spirit of God inside of you, is capable of cleaning out, washing, moving away, and reshaping the paths of our life. Aren't you so glad that we're at the latter part of that? See, when this was written in Luke, it said, he's telling them this, but he's saying, up until this time, the Spirit had not been given. We are living in a time when the Spirit has been given. Guys, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. He's there. And that Spirit is living and capable of handling whatever you're dealing with. Trust it. Do you need God to refresh the desert in your life? If you're a Christian, you've gone through a desert season in your relationship with God. Everybody has. Deserts are part of our journey of life, right? But remember what this scripture said in Isaiah, that he's creating streams in the wasteland, right? and quenching thirst. That they that come to me who are thirsty, they will never thirst again. If you are in a season of a desert and in your relationship with God, please know that you have a source of living water inside of you. It's there. But you have to make the decision to drink from it. Right? You have to drink from it. Y'all ever met a little kid who's so thirsty, but they won't drink water? And then what old people say? Well, then you're not thirsty. And I was like, no, I am thirsty. I'm just not thirsty for water. And that's where this world lives. We thirsty. We just don't know we're thirsty for water. And here is the truth. When we are walking through desert times in our relationship with God, even if we are walking through desert times with God-ordained relationships, it is only going to be remedied by living water. It has to be from the Spirit. It has to be living water. You have to draw from it. Listen, how many of you need God to heal you today? Your physical body, your heart, your mind, you need God to heal you today. Well, we know that His living water heals. And it's inside of us and it's available to us. That's what it does. The living water in us now has the same power we saw demonstrated in the Old Testament by God. It shapes, it moves, it heals, and it has purpose. It has it. There is this source inside of you that is ready and available to you, but you have to drink from it. And you have to decide that you want that water more than what doesn't satisfy. Even if what doesn't satisfy tastes better. Because the things of this world will taste good. And they will seem to quench our thirst for a moment. But they will not satisfy. And the people that God is talking to in the Old Testament, they were trying everything they could to satisfy their need by trying to do what they had done before or trying to complain and do it in their own strength. And God looks at them and He says, forget all that. I'm trying to do a new thing in you. And so listen, whatever it is that this new season is bringing you, you have a source of living water that can push you, shape you, mold you, heal you, and support you in this season of life. It's the gift that God gives us. Now, I want to pause here and I want to go back to verses 20 and 21 from Isaiah. It said, the wild animals honor me, and the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. You know, in the desert, animals have to search for water, right? But here's what happened. What God was saying is, these animals are honoring me. Because they know just how barren and dry this desert is. And yet, because my people are in it, there is water for them to drink. Because my chosen people are in this desert, there is water for the jackals and the owls. And so they honor me. Because they too have something to drink now that my chosen people are in their desert. Hear what I'm going to say today to you. And the animals who marveled at the power of God to bring water to a wasteland, this world will marvel at how we have water, life and hope and healing in such a dry wasteland because it will flow out of you. Let me tell you what the world will marvel at. Your ability to have life and hope and healing and peace in the midst of this world. Let me tell you what they will not marvel at, your rightness or your opinion. or your judgment upon them. That, in fact, does not satisfy anyone. It's vinegar. It parches and it makes thirstier. And we have a world that is barren and dry. Don't you know it? We live in it every day. Let me tell you something. This world is dry and barren and broken, and people are desperate for anything that can bring them life and healing. That's why there are so many supplements and made-up things and people peddling stuff. Take this, you'll get better. And it's not just about our physical bodies, it's our minds and our spirits. And I'm not talking about medicine and things that are good for us. I'm telling you that people are desperate for life and peace and joy, and they don't know where to get it. And if you are a Christian and you ain't got nothing for them but your bitter opinions and your bitter judgments and your bitterness, you're not giving them any water. You out here dry and parched right along with the world. And there is no reason for a child of God to be parched, dry, and bitter in this world, because what does he tell us? I have brought streams of living water inside of you that flow out of you. And the world should be marveling at you because you are in the same dry, barren desert that they are. You get the same paycheck they get. And yet, there is life in you. Do you hear? I know y'all know how I get sometimes. But y'all, there are people in this room I know right now who spend evenings with people who don't know God, and they are loving them and mentoring them and supporting them. And then guess what happens? Some person claiming the name of God comes and bashes that person on social media for their opinions and ideas. And that means that all the living water that someone has poured out to them, now someone else with the name Christian attached to them has come over and they've sopped it dry. And I'm weary of it. I'm weary of Christians walking around here bitter and dry. I'm weary of your opinions and your ideas. Thank God nobody put all my mistakes on Front Street. Thank God. Thank God I wasn't a teenager in social media times. Thank God. Let me tell you something. This world is wrestling, fighting. And the enemy is trying his best to choke them out and leave them parched and desperate, so desperate that they will drink anything they are given because they are thirsty. And then what happens is the enemy comes in with something sweet and refreshing. And they drink it, and they are so desperate for understanding and identity and connection and hope that they drink whatever they can get. And they don't realize that what they are drinking is poison that will simply deprive them and leave them forever thirsty. And meanwhile, God's church is full of living water, and it's sitting over on the side, casting judgment while containing the source of life. There's living water in you. You keeping it? You keep it, it gets stagnant. And stagnant water collects flies. It's got to come out of you. It's got to come out of you. This past week, my Uncle Gary passed away. Almost 10 years ago, he was diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. And they told him he wouldn't live long. That was 10 years ago. And I remember him telling me, well, cancer or something else is going to kill me. We'll just see what happens first. He was a tough man, Vietnam veteran, just a tough guy. Oh, he was burly military looking. Did not have a friendly face. Very serious face. And yet he was the most generous, encouraging, supporting man that I had ever really interacted with. He was the kind of man who would find out that you had a medical bill, and when you would go to pay it, it would already be paid. The kind of man who would send you an encouraging word. The kind of man who would watch my messages from Oklahoma and let me know that I did a good job. He was fresh water in the burliest, roughest looking well. And yet he was generous and kind. And when he passed away, person after person from all walks of life posted memories about him and things to say about him. And they all said, I felt seen, I felt heard, I felt encouraged whenever I talked to Gary. He listened to me. He looked me in my eyes. Let me tell you something. I want to know when I leave this place that people remember me as someone who, when they were near them, they felt seen, they felt heard, they felt encouraged, they felt welcomed. Let me tell you something. If there is not an out and out sinner running from God in this world who has your phone number and knows they should call you in an emergency, you might want to reevaluate some things. Because the people of God need to start being the 911 numbers for the people of the world. They need to know. We had a friend one time who always said, I'll pray for you, but if it's serious, I'm going to call 1-800-PHONE-A-CHARISMATIC. She goes, because if it's serious, I need somebody to really pray. Let me tell you something. This world needs people who are going to stand in the gap for them, who are going to stand in the gap when they're in the middle of a situation that their choices have put them in, and those choices you don't agree with. And they're still going to need someone to stand in the gap for them. Will you be living water? Because if you're not giving them something to drink, I promise you the enemy is. So where is your living water? 1 Peter 2:9 is our verse for glare. And we're going to wrap up here. Praise team, if y'all want to come. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him. Listen to this. Who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You've been called out for the purpose. It says, listen to this. It says, you have been called out of darkness into his wonderful light that you may declare praises. Not so you can say, hey guys, I'm out here in the light. So if you'd like for me to let you know what the light is all about. No, that's not what it says. You're not called into the light so you can be like, I'm in the light, so I'm right. No. It says you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Because the testimony is not that I am right. The testimony is that I was wrong, but Jesus brought me out anyway. Remember what his word says. While we were still sinners, he reconciled us. While you were still a hot mess, and then even after you got saved, when you still were a hot mess, he called you out of darkness. And every time you find yourself in darkness again, he calls you out. And why? Not because you're special, but because you're his. And because he's called you to declare his praises. The Spirit given to you at the moment of salvation is the living, moving, shaping, healing, freeing, forgiving water of His Spirit. And it is meant to flow. To flow. Forget the former things. Forget the former things. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Y'all that have been around a little while, remember, probably, when we upset people by wearing jeans in church. It took a long time for some people to realize that the water could flow even if the person talking was wearing jeans. And for me, being a lady, that it could flow even while I wasn't wearing a skirt. Or the fact that I'm a lady. Listen, God does new things. He's the same God, but the way He does things, He is living and moving and active. And He has something new for you in this season. And the source is in you. He is the source. He controls its purpose. And it is meant to flow out of you. I want to encourage you on something. I want to encourage you. That one issue that you have that you just can't get over people about. That one sin that really just bothers you the most. Whatever it is. I want to encourage you this week to begin to pray for people who are dealing with that in their lives. It might change your mindset, not on sin, but on people. If you begin to pray for those things you find your heart hardened to, and then ask yourself, why is my heart so hard to this? Thank God that His heart is not hard to us. I just want to challenge you today. This world is dry. And we have water. We have it. It's in us. And He has called us out of darkness so that we may declare His praises. You know, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. You know, one of our verses for our church is, there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor Gentile, nor slave, nor free, nor male or female, but all have been made new through Christ Jesus. There is no but when it comes to God's people. All people, anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ is saved. Anyone who says, I believe I need a Savior, I believe in a Savior. And let me tell you something. I want there to be more people who say I need a Savior because of my life than say they don't because of my life. I want people to be drawn to Jesus, not repelled from Him. I trust the Holy Spirit to do the work of conviction. If only we can help get Him to them. So let the living water flow out of you. And if it begins to flow out of you to others, you might just find that it will shape you and heal you and restore you and quench your thirst that you have as well. So we're going to stand today as we end. And we're going to sing the fun song. Because, hey, I don't know about you, but I was in darkness. It's funny. I can say that I grew up in church. I was literally born in church. I've never gone 3 months of my life without being in church. Probably less than that. Probably never gone more than 2 months without being in church. And yet, I was in darkness until He called me out into the light. And He did it so that I may declare His praises. So listen today. Can we end this day by praising God the God who brought you out. And today, instead of thinking about what is wrong with this world, can we think about what is right with God and who we are? Can we praise Him because we are fearfully, wonderfully made? Can we praise Him because we are His workmanship, created in Him to do good works, which He's prepared in advance for us to do? Can we praise Him because He who began a good work in us will see it through to completion? Can we praise Him because the moment of salvation we were given the Spirit of God living and moving inside of us? Can we praise Him because in a dry and parched world, there is water for us? So let us praise Him.